Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Was it the time? You know, I mean, we take it for granted now. We've got all this the social media and stuff, and, mm. And it's great, you know, it is great. But it does also take away a little bit, I think, from... I don't know, I think that sometimes when I think of Mark Bolan, for instance, or the bands that I liked when I was a kid, there's more mystery about them than there is about people like myself, for instance. You know, you can find out anything you want. Like you said before, there's everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, you can spend days watching YouTube, and it's like you can play a show, and within an hour, you're up there on YouTube from that same show. You know, and I don't know, somehow for me, it's lost a little bit of its mystery.
Also, in those days, somebody would come in with those Instamatic cameras and take a great black and white photo of the mission. Right. And then leave, and that'll end up in a book somewhere or whatever, and maybe now on the internet that you didn't even know about. So it was that one person taking that one photo instead of everybody with cell phones and selfies and stuff. So,
you know, one of the things that Mission did, and I was in California on holiday to, I think, about 88 or something like that, and I went to see the Grateful Dead. My girlfriend at the time was a deadhead. So I went to see the Grateful Dead in Oakland Coliseum, San Francisco. And I was amazed because there's a big area cordoned off behind the mixing desk where they allowed fans to come in with their own recording equipment, set it up, and record the shows. And so, there's this whole plethora of Grateful Dead bootlegs and stuff. But I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant thing. And so I've ever since then, it's always been okay with me to record Mission shows and solo shows or whatever, as long as it's for own personal use, you know. So if somebody wants to come along with a tape recorder, record the show or whatever, it's always been written in our contract ever since then that they could do it. And my theory is that it doesn't detract from record sales, because the people that do that will still go and buy the records. Mm. And if anything, it will just perpetuate your name anyway. You know, they might give the tape to a friend of theirs, and they think, wow, that's great. You know, and then somebody else might buy the record, or somebody, they've come to a show and buy a T-shirt. You know, who knows?
We're going to talk Andrew Aldridge, and you haven't spoken to him for how many years?
I don't know. It's a few, 10, 12 years now, maybe.
He approached you as well to join his band. We're going to talk about that, and then how the Mission got together, and then, we still got another hour. By the way,
Barcelona beat... Bayern Munich 3-0.
3-0. Who scored?
Messi 2, Neymar.
Yeah. Are you a big Barca fan?
I like watching them play, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I was a fan, but I like watching good football, and they play good football. And that forward line is stunning.
Barca, Real Madrid final, we're all hoping, eh? What do you think?
I think definitely Barca there. I think Real have got the upper hand against Juventus.
Right, we're going to play Neil Young, The Needle and the Damage Done, one of the songs that you requested, and also Kate Bush. Here they come. Kate Bush running up that hill ahead of that Neil Young, The Needle and the Damage Done. This is Jack Ryan FM. In studio with me, the legendary Wayne Hussey. What does it feel like to be a legend, Wayne? I know you're very down to earth. You're just a normal dude, but, you know, you walk around in England in those days when you were the front man of The Mission, number one hits all over. Was it difficult to go out shopping on a Sunday morning?
I used to go out there and think, oh, look, everybody's looking at me. Mm. And then I kind of, you know, walk past the shop and look in the window and I see myself dressed with a big hat and a big long purple coat and think, maybe that's why they're looking at me.
So you got the call from Andrew Aldridge, the Leeds boys. I mean, did you move to Leeds then?
Not straight off, but eventually, yeah, I moved over to Leeds and, I mean, basically Andrew called me and said, we're looking for a guitarist. We hear you play guitar. So I said, come over. So I went over and met up with them. And basically we just sat there and cut lines of speed and talked for hours. And I didn't play guitar. And then he called me the next day and said, you got the job without playing guitar. So that was the easiest audition I ever had. It was fun. It was a fun 2 years, you know. I mean, it's well documented that he and I didn't really see eye to eye, but it's quite common most people must encounter that in their job somewhere along the line. Mm. The people have to work with people they don't get on with.
Well, did that happen towards the end of the 2 years or from the first week you started?
It really happened from the beginning. I mean, you know, he was with two very different characters. Very different personalities. I'm a lot more, of the moment. Andrew tends to be more academic, but you know, when it came to making music, I think it worked brilliantly. I think the two approaches really worked. Certainly, when you listen to things like Mariam, it worked. You know, that tension worked. But life's too short to live with that much tension and stress all the time, you know. It's like, can't be doing this anymore. 2 years is long enough.
Mm-hmm. Any good memories? The best show you guys did together, a big festival, and the worst gig, Sisters of Mercy?
Well, the last show we did was at the Albert Hall, and that was we did the film for that as well, which I remember being a good one, a big one, you know. I mean, legendary Albert Hall. I remember Lemmy being backstage, you know, chopping out the lines, of course. And I went out with Lemmy the night before, actually. Lemmy and Ian Asprey from The Cult, and we went to see Killing Joke, who were on that night, the night before. Met Jimmy Page. Lemmy introduced me to Jimmy Page. And so those were quite heady days, really, you know, rubbing shoulders with all these pop stars and rock stars. I mean, the thing about the Sisters shows, we used a drum machine. So that rooted us at all times, even though we did do lots of speed. So if we had a drummer that did lots of speed, we would have been in trouble. Because we had a drum machine, it really held it down. And because of the way we were with the speed, it was really intense. I just remember the shows being very intense. That's what I remember.
And the crowd, obviously, did you guys feed off the vibe of the crowd, all the goths? In those days?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to remember it that clearly, really, Barney. I mean, and certainly I was the guitarist then, not singer, so it was a different perspective, shall we say.
But he also, if you look at the albums, his name is everywhere. I don't think I've seen your name on any of the songs or whatever. All the rights belong to him.
If you look at First and Last and Always, the songwriting credits are there. I get credit for Black Planet, Marianne. A bunch of the other ones on the album.
Do you still get royalties?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's, I mean, cool. Marianne's been a good earner for me over the years.
Mm.
There's that Nouvelle Vague, or whatever they're called.
They did a cover of that, yeah.
Yeah, they did it, yeah. I quite like that, actually.
So, you know, we're looking at touring, and you must have been on the road. Like, you do a gig, then you're in the van, and then you're off to the next gig. I mean, that must...
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Decker.